Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Roger Nober, Chairman of the Surface Transportation Board. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel. Well, Roger, in the last segment, you described the industry, and I'm curious, I understand there's a moratorium on mergers and after extensive merger activity. Could you give us the state of this?
By way of background, in the mid to late 90s, there were several large rail mergers. Union Pacific merged with Southern Pacific. Burlington Northern merged with the Santa Fe. Conrail merged with Norfolk Southern and CSX and ceased to exist. And so we had a period of industry consolidation where we basically had two large railroads west of the Mississippi and two large railroads east of the Mississippi. All of those mergers produced some difficulty in integrating the two railroads into one unit. In the late 1990s, in 1999, one of the big Western railroads, Burlington Northern, proposed to merge with Canadian National, which had an extensive U.S. network, and form an intercontinental network. And that created a great deal of consternation in the industry that we would then have consolidation down to just two. My predecessor, as a result of that, announced a moratorium on mergers to give the companies a chance to consolidate what they had and work. That moratorium ended and produced instead new guidelines to govern how our agency looks at mergers. On the one hand, I support the merger guidelines and think that they require companies that want to merge to come in and show the kinds of changes they would want to make and how, you know, put a safety integration plan in. But, you know, I don't have a predisposition on mergers. Our agency was set up as an independent agency primarily to look at mergers on their merits and not let political influences govern how we look at them. So if there's going to be a merger, we'll look at it fairly, we'll look at it on the transaction, and we will apply the merger guidelines, but what weight and value we'll give to them, I'm not sure. I do, however, think that, you know, my view of an administrative body's view of mergers is really less important than the view of the railroads, the view of their shareholders, and their customers. If they feel that to really be valuable and productive entities in the long run, they need to be transcontinental, they'll merge, and there isn't that much as an administrative body that we can do to stop that. On the other hand, if they think that their best way of succeeding in the long run is staying the way they are, then that's what they'll do. But I think it's investors and customers that are going to drive that, and not a glorified bureaucrat like myself.
Roger, the current administration has a strong desire to accurately measure and record the performance of government agencies across the board. Can you tell us a little bit about how the board is measuring its performance and what type of measures you're using?
We're not a grant-making agency, and so we're not able to set performance measures the way that other agencies are. In the same kind of way, we can't say, are we, you know, having this level of fraud or this level of grant, you know, tailoring our programs to meet our current priorities. However, I believe very strongly in performance-based management, and what I've tried to do is manage our resources in a way that maximize what I think our core missions are. So we are there to review rate and service complaints, and I've taken staff from other, you know, who have similar skills from different departments and put them on rate cases to help us process them on time. We have one way I measure performance are statutory deadlines. We have statutory deadlines for resolving disputes. Have we done that? Our agency doesn't miss its statutory deadlines, and it's very important to me that we continue not to. By way of example, though, we face a significant management challenge on that. Our large rate cases are big, expensive, time-consuming record, you know, matters with records of 700,000 pages with complicated algorithms that help us decide whether rates are reasonable or not. And we normally have 2 to 3 pending at any given time, and right now we have 13. So we're basically trying to process with the same amount of staff 4 times as many cases. I've tried to take resources away from places where we may not be as busy and put them on those cases to ensure that we meet our statutory deadlines. That to me is a clear performance measure. We have environmental review responsibility and trying to ensure that our reviews are done as quickly as possible in a way that address them and are legally sustainable is another top priority. I've again moved staff away from other resources and put them on there. So ensure in, you know, part of my job is to step back and look at what are people expect of us, what are our responsibilities, and that's to resolve cases fairly, quickly, professionally, and within the deadline set by Congress. And I measure performance that way, and if we have, and I've had to try to move resources and allocate them to ensure that we're continually able to do that. sometimes it's little things. Like, for example, I've reinstituted hearings and oral arguments on cases and decision, you know, public meetings to decide matters, when in the past we used to just vote them on paper. And a lot of folks would like to come to that, but, you know, they can't always make it. So I've taken some money aside, and we're redesigning our website to have streaming audio, which, you know, for those of you in the radio business might seem like yesterday's news, but to our agency is pretty forward-thinking. And so that, again, will help, you know, measure, you know, help us perform in a way that helps our stakeholders understand what we're doing and why we're doing it.
You make a good point about the uniqueness of the kind of information you deal with and that it's not rote administrative tasks. But you did talk about the timeliness of the processes being completed. How do you look at the quality of the decisions that come out?
Well, as with any kind of matter, it's somewhat arbitrary and somewhat affective. And to my mind, you know, are they persuasive? Are they decisions that don't require a lot of, you know, rewriting or revising by me? Are they consistent with what kinds of decisions I think ought to be made and with the parameters of the case? And many of our cases are appealed to court, and our cases being upheld in court, and our agency has an excellent record in having its decisions upheld by reviewing courts. We don't always, they're not always. You know, we had a very controversial matter in South Dakota that was recently sent back to an environmental review that was sent back to us by the Eighth Circuit. I think our agency's analysis was excellent, and the court struck some new ground in finding a way to send it back to us. And, you know, those things will happen. People are people, and, you know, judges are people too, and they have their own, you know, individual perspectives on things, and you can't predict everything. But, you know, with matters like that, there is a certain amount of art to deciding what high quality is and what high quality isn't. You know, 90-some-odd percent, about 92% of our budget is salaries and expenses and rent. So we don't have a lot of, say, grant making. And I say that because at DOT, about 80% of our budget was for grants. And so performance could be measured on our grants going out on time. Are they meeting the purposes? Are we overseeing the money and how it's spent to ensure that we're getting the return on the investments that we wanted? How are our grantees being selected? I mean, there were any number of performance measures you would put on to at a grant-making agency. Our agency is an adjudicatory one, and so it's harder to measure it, but it's still important that we do. And when matters don't meet my satisfaction or my predecessor's satisfaction, they get sent back, and staff understands it. When they do, they get, you know, I tell them the good job.
And during our conversation, you talked a little bit about your stakeholders. You talked about the industry that you're regulating. Can you tell me a little bit about the relationship that you have, your organization has, with the organizations that you are regulating?
Well, it's a very interesting question, because on the one hand, we are a formal, almost like a court. And on that, we have to maintain an arm's length relationship with the people who are litigating before us. On the other hand, we're a regulatory body, and we need to work with the stakeholders to try to forge consensus and advance our regulatory doctrines. So we both have to work very closely with them, and on the other hand, keep at arm's length from them. And it's sometimes very difficult to meet that balance. Because railroads and shippers are occupy kind of the same relationship with one another. They, on the one hand, need each other and have to work together, and on the other hand, have disputes which they litigate before us. And sometimes, you know, our stakeholders call upon us to try to help resolve things. And because of our agency's role in the regulatory process, we carry a great deal of weight with both parties. And, you know, my predecessor and I have both tried to use our agency's reputation and persuasiveness with the parties to try to work through and come up with, you know, negotiated or mediated solutions and try to help the parties work together. I've had a great deal of personal success in that. My predecessor, for example, was able to get the parties, all the railroads and the city of Chicago, to work together on issues out, you know, rail issues out there, to come up with a plan to revise the rail system in Chicago to help smooth it, make it more efficient, and improve the flow of goods. Now, a third of all rail traffic flows through Chicago. And, you know, one of the sort of anecdotes that I don't like to use, but I use all the time anyway, is it takes good 2 days to get to Chicago and 2 days to get through Chicago. So improving the flow and the handoff between railroads in Chicago really has national repercussions. But because Chicago's the end of everybody's line, they would all focus on other places. And the city has more rail, you know, is filled with rail lines, and they had an interest in seeing issues worked out as well. We were able to get the parties together, sit down, begin to talk about ways to improve things, and operationally, improvements have been made in Chicago, and now we have a capital plan to work on things that just operations can't help with. And so you know, again, a lot of the parts of the job are art, not science, and you try to use your influence where you can to improve the operations of the freight system, and I'm a big believer in that.
It's an interesting point about Chicago. I'll think about it the next time I'm there. What does the future hold for the Surface Transportation Board? We'll ask Roger Nober when the Business of Government Hour returns.